WGXC Accra. What up, Hudson Catskill? 90.7 FM.
You're listening to the three extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or WGXC.org, any WGXC.org page. Click on the Listen button. Here, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at WGXC.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the hydrophones in the Wave Farm Pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather, the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons. On any WGXC.org page, click on the Listen button to tune in your weather.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of FET Press in Hudson, New York. WGXC local business supporters help us continue to be a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. Thank you, FET Press.
This is WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm Justin. Today on Ginger Radio Hour, it's a whole hour of joy inspired by cowboy sadness. That's who you're hearing underneath. The band spent the last couple of years recording a series of epic improvisations, and they put them all together in Selected Jambient Works, Volume 1, a new album from Cowboy Sadness. The band is playing at Opus 40 at the end of the month, and Pioneer Works in Brooklyn in November. I had the chance to talk to David Moore, one of three band members. The others are Nick and Peter. So today, Ginger plus cowboy sadness equals joy. You'll hear a bunch of tracks from their album, a part of my conversation with David. Enjoy your time here. This is Ginger Radio Hour.
We're all introduced by a mutual friend in Brooklyn, Jesse Stein, who has a great band called the Luyas, based out of Montreal. And she just put a jam session together, and it was me and her and Nick and Pete. And I think she had already had the name Cowboy Sadness picked out. And so that was just always the name. Like, from day one, we were just Cowboy Sadness. And we just had that kind of one jam session in my basement here, actually, right where I'm standing at this exact moment. And this was, I don't know, a dozen years ago or something. It was a little while ago. And Jesse ended up following some different paths and moving back to Montreal and eventually going back to school, and is just killing it right now. But we three just kind of stayed on, and we just kept playing, and we did it pretty casually for a long time. Well, it's always casual with us. But we did it very casually for a while. And then, Nick and Pete both moved upstate. I stayed in the city, and they kind of got their own thing, and Nick started kind of building out a studio, but while he was building that out, he got a mobile recording rig going, so he started doing that. And we'd get together every 6 months or so at one of our houses, one of our spots, and Nick would bring his gear, and we would record. And then, yeah, after doing that for a while, we were kind of just like, well, hell, let's do something with all this. And we did. And, you know, it was a really fun process to finally put an album together. And, you know, we're super glad we did, because now we have the opportunity to play really cool places like Opus 40 and Pioneer Works. So
there are many things I like about this album, but it's very tight, and the songs make a lot of sense. In other words, like, unto themselves. And I just wonder, as somebody who doesn't know how to do any of these things, what the process was like when you actually sat down and decided to edit what you had recorded.
Well, we all have our strength. And one of Pete's strengths is we call him the chopper. Because Pete is really good at kind of going in and taking something that was maybe... You know, we're jamming along, we're riffing on something, we find something, we develop it, we're moving along. we get to something really good, ebb it out, and we're done. You know, and that's a, that could be a 20-minute, 45-minute process just for an idea. So the expression of an idea is usually around that timeline. And we had a big kind of philosophical discussion when we started mixing the record of, like, do we want to make an album of, like, extended jams, or do we want to, like, make something that's, like, kind of more tight and, like, put together? And we opted going more in that direction. So to do that, like, Chopper, Mr. Silverman, would sit and basically go through these extended jams and edit them into something that sounded more like a condensed song. So take a couple minutes, you know, from the first 10 minutes where we're kind of developing the idea, and then we'll take, like, you know, 5 minutes from, like, the heart of the jam when we really get it going, and then we'll find something near the end that, like, makes sense as, like, a way to get out of the song or into the next one. And it's just this very, it's an art unto itself that I'm not very good at, though I have so much, like, love and respect and gratitude to Pete for sitting down and doing that job, because he's just so good at it.
Billings, so I don't want to get too in the weeds, because like, track by track, but Billings, Montana is one of the songs that I have been playing kind of a bit on repeat, although
nice.
I have to say one of the best parts of the album for me is I do walk a lot, and I like to listen to music, and it's kind of a, you know, the perfect length. Also, I can sometimes when I listen to music, I get almost too distracted by it, and I feel like this album is more of like a partner on my walk, if that makes any sense. Like,
oh, I like that.
Yeah, I have space to both listen, but also, like, my brain can still function a little bit and think. But anyway, the Billings, Montana song is one that, one of the things I like so much about it, and I'm sure the editing helped, but it was clear, like, there's a real build to it as far as each of you coming in or going out.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of, like, a wave from each of you, and I just wondered if you could talk a bit about that track.
Well, that track is, like, you know, it, I mean, if I just back up for a quick second, we really love Nick's drumming, and ambient music as a concept, I guess, is, it's not really something I've ever really, like, tried to associate myself with, but I have ended up associated with it, and that's okay, but that doesn't matter. But what I was going to say is, like, there's just not a lot of drums in that genre, so I think there was initially, like, how much should Nick be playing drums, how much should drums be a part of the album? And we figured out pretty quick that drums rule, and Nick should play them as much as he wants. So we ended up kind of, when we were combing through the archives trying to figure out what the hell to put on this thing, like, really gravitating towards a few tracks that, like, really featured the drums, and one of them was Billings, Montana. And it's just such a cool track because he really anchors everything down, and then, like you said, like, we all enter kind of in these waves, and it does feel more like we're all, like, riding on horses together or something, you know, like, we're like, it's just a very fun track to play. And I remember when we were jamming on it, I think as far as how it ended up sounding, you know, with the entrances and the arrangement and everything, like, a lot of that was done in editing for sure. But some of it wasn't, and some of it just all, like, happened very naturally. So that track is definitely one of my favorites too. And there's a reason we put it on near the front of the album. I think it's, like, the second or third song or something. Like, it just has that kind of propulsion behind it.
Here's that track David and I were just talking about, Billings, Montana by Cowboy Sadness.
Thank you.
I know that each of these was probably a very unique experience as far as like when you would get to together in a garage or a room and start playing. But I'm wondering if you could just think back and imagine one that sticks out to you and maybe explain a little bit to me and the audience what it's like when somebody either has an idea and then, you know, people play around it. I'm just wondering a little bit like what those kind of epic improvisations are like, or one of them was like.
Well, okay, this one's really cool. This one always really sticks in my mind. I have been living temporarily in Delaware County, in like a house in Delaware County. And over the summer, the guys came by and we set up in the living room, and we hadn't played in quite a while at that point. And Nick had just gotten his recording rig like really dialed in, and it was kind of the first time we were sitting down to actually record the jams like properly for the first time. And so we're in this environment, everybody shows up, we're getting hooked up and everything, you know, the recording gear and everything plugged in and the instruments, you know, everything. And while we're there, I've got my Rhodes set up and we're just having a conversation. I just throw my hands on the Rhodes and like I hear this like just like rambling on this cool chord, and I just start playing this melody and these chords, and I like, they didn't come from anywhere. I didn't write them. They just like just kind of happened immediately. And it was like just very simple. This is very simple melody, very simple chords. And I just kind of screwed around on it for a minute while the guys like got set up, and they heard what I was working on. And then we got set up, we checked whatever, and then we started playing. And I just immediately gravitated towards that idea. And then they jumped in and they helped like evolve the idea. And we ended up jamming on it for a little while. And we did this like really sort of epic jam on the thing. You know, it was very long, and that became first and second rodeo. And that was also sort of the first thing we recorded for this album. Everything else you hear was recorded after that. So that was always really special to me. And I just remember like, damn, isn't it funny how this works? You know, where just like you're sitting there. I think I had been like having writer's block too. Like I wasn't writing or anything. And then all of a sudden I'm around like my friends and this like spirit, and just this thing comes out. And like, I can't even like take credit for it because I just had the initial spark. But the spark came from them, and then they came and they filled it out and like jammed, and just like it just totally belongs to the three of us. And I just thought it was so cool. I just thought it was so cool how that stuff works. And I just like, I'm so grateful for it. I don't know if I'll ever really understand it beyond just like, you know, make sure that you're like happy as you can be and like in a good place to create or whatever, you know, whatever your bag is, like just make sure that like you're open and available when it needs to happen, and it did. So that was always very cool.
Oh, that's the perfect amount of explanation. You're right, it's about being present, and then the things happen through you or with you.
Yeah. I can't take credit for any of this stuff.
Yeah, I know, but you can and you can't, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So I know we talked a little bit about this through email, but I'm wondering if you can just talk briefly about how the Catskills in Hudson Valley, and just, you know, being outside of the city, how it contributed to where all of you were when you sat down to make music.
Well, I mean, it's gorgeous up there, particularly at like certain times of year. I mean, there's just no better place to be, you know, like spring, fall, especially the fall. I mean, it's just like, it's so magical up there. And then, you know, the context that I'm coming from, which is just like, you know, living my life in the city and going up there and being like surrounded by nature, you know, all of a sudden, like I'm always getting really, like incredible sort of pushes onto me from the environment up there. I really, really appreciate that. You know, Pete and Nick both live up there and have lived up there for a very long time. And, their relationship with it is a little different. I think that, you know, and I don't want to speak for them, but I would imagine that the kind of environmental impact of being in the Catskills is maybe a little lessened when you live up there all the time than when you just kind of pop up. I think for them, the jams were very informed also by, like, here now is dedicated time to be creative with my friends, you know, which in our day-to-day lives, especially as, you know, we get older, like those spaces become harder to carve out. So I think there's a real gratitude with all of us for that. But as far as the Catskills, like, inspiring what we do, like, you know, absolutely. Like, we've had, you know, these jams last usually about 3 days. So we go, you know, we're not playing the whole time. So we're going on hikes. We're going to take in meteor showers. We're, you know, we are enjoying the natural world because we're all just very, you know, into nature. We're nature people. So, yeah, it's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous.
Thanks for listening to Ginger Radio Hour. I'm Justin. I'll be at that show at Opus 40, September 29th. Go buy tickets.